It's August 2nd, 2016, and this is Inside Out, The Naked Truth, coming to you live from the Santa Cruz Mountains of California, where unfortunately we're experiencing a lot of fire and dust particles in the air. But here at Lupin Lodge, it's still beautiful, and at Lupin, clothing is optional.
But the truth is always naked.
I am Errol Strider.
And I'm Rochelle Alicia Strider. And we welcome you to our home at Lupin Lodge. We invited you over tonight for some conversation about the human condition and what to make of it, sprinkled with laughter, good music, and a few surprises.
Our program is sponsored by Go Raw, natural, healthy, nutritious, and delicious food. And
Universe Spirit, awakening us to the impact of climate destabilization and how we can make a difference.
Go to their website, Job One for Humanity. We're glad to be with you. And before we actually get into the meat of our program, or someone might consider this the hors d'oeuvre, I'm going to hand Rochelle an anniversary card.
Oh, my gosh.
Our anniversary was yesterday.
Oh, my gosh.
And so
gosh.
She's experiencing it for the first time.
I'm having a thing.
My knees are shaking.
He included the picture of us smiling, big, big, joyful smile at our wedding, which took place 40 years ago.
Oh. She was a child bride. We originally married when we were both 6 and 7, respectively, because our parents wanted to make sure we'd be covered and the dowry was well set. Anyway, back to you reading the card.
Okay, I'm going to read it. I'll read it out loud and I may cry. Happy 40th anniversary, my sweet darling Rochelle. Oh, can you believe he said that? Well, mostly sweet, but always darling. You are a treasure in my life. Okay, I'm crying. You have filled our time together with delight, love, kindness, generosity, creativity, lots of laughter, and to be fair, a bit of nagging and hysteria, only for his own good. While you put up with my mess and forgetting where I put the, sorry, I can't remember, but all in all, it's been a grand and wonderful adventure being in relationship with you for over 40 years, but who's counting? I love you. Happy anniversary, Rochelle, your hubby. By the way, believe it or not, I lost my fill in the blank. This card took a long time to do, and it's beautiful. I'm sorry you can't see it because it's really pretty. Oh, okay, I had a Mildred on that one.
Oh, you did? Let's see if we can set the stage for this subject tonight. Ready?
Believe it or not. Yes, believe it or not. Pages from the sketchbook of Robert L. Ripley. And here speaking for Bob Ripley is the Dean of Newsreel Commentators, Gregory Abbott.
Thanks, Bill Griffiths, and welcome everyone to Bob Ripley's Radio Auditorium, a collection of amazing facts discovered by Bob Ripley in his never-ending search for the truth. The truth, which is always more unbelievable than fiction.
Believe it or not. Oh, my God. When did that happen?
Well, it had happened, of course, many years ago. Who knows when?
Sounds like the 40s.
And here we are in our 40s of the being married years.
Believe it or not.
Not only are we once again bringing you our live radio show tonight, but believe it or not is the featured phrase of the week. What a coincidence. There are so many believe it or not opportunities. Like, believe it or not, the earth is round. Sort of. Believe it or not, we evolve over 13 billion years and counting. Believe it or not, men and women are two distinct varieties of the same species living in close and intimate association.
That's the trouble.
From the Urantia book. Donald Trump could actually become president of these United States. Believe it or not. Now, we could upgrade these and all the other options to better believe it status if you want, But suffice it to say that our credulity is constantly being stretched by life and its amazing varieties of emergent possibilities. Here are a couple of real bona fide believe it or not challenges. Believe it or not, we live this very short life in the flesh and are simply reabsorbed by an indifferent and always messy material world. Or, believe it or not, we live eternally as evolving souls. Here's a real showstopper. Believe it or not, we can take charge of the direction of this society by joining together, being willing to confront and diffuse our egos, our separating tendencies, and by getting out not only the vote, but even more importantly, getting out the love. Believe it or not, the love is in all of us. Often covered up by fear and shame, but eager to participate and support our lives. Believe it or not. At the very least, belief is one of the strongest forces that drive our lives. So tonight we're going to explore those beliefs. What are they? How they work? And to what extent we have a choice to believe it or not. Our delight in characters will be here. So here we go.
Believe it or not.
I'm going to pick up on what you said about choice. Believe it or not, you have a choice. As a free person in a free nation, you don't have to believe it, whatever it is. You can choose another it. You can even be the only one picking that it, and it is okay. We can even choose ignorance. The I don't know, don't care approach to life may be liberating for some. While checking things out and making intelligent choices based on facts is much more liberating for others. So you may believe anything or nothing as well as something, believe it or not. When I believe it, I have to know it is true. My senses, my mental acuity, my observation all come into play. I mean, just because someone says so, I choose not to believe until I know for sure. Believe it or not.
I'm just taking that in. That was a lot of wow and all of that. I don't know about you out there, partner. I see belief as what we determine what shows up by our belief. Belief is be live. When you take it to that, you see that we are being living. And out of that intention, that will, that projecting out into the unqualified potential and through the very belief itself, calling forth the wherewithal to turn something into a useful or valuable time-space phenomenon.
And you thought I used a lot of words.
Huh.
Believe it or not,
that was the short version. You know, who's counting?
I see the world, the material world, it's so ephemeral, more so than ever, believe it or not. It just disappears. I'm in a second, and the next second is there, and the second before is not there anymore. It's constantly disappearing. It's a disappearing act.
Except for those seconds that kind of hang around, making a nuisance of themselves.
I don't have any of those. How do you have them?
They come up.
You regurgitate seconds, I bet you do.
Well, I overheard in the first place, let alone having seconds. But speaking of seconds.
Yes, we were.
These were seconds. They were little pieces of the past that attached themselves to me. That past is like this weird creature with something hanging around his neck, making a lot of noise like wedding cars and bells and whistles being pulled along by life. He's trying to catch up with it. Pieces of the past that never got resolved. believe it or not.
I have a feeling that the things that attach themselves to us have to do with the way we define ourselves. To live totally in the minute and not on the second, I mean, well, the minute, I like a long second.
To live totally in the many seconds, that's fair. And we want to come back to you seconds because we're not really done with you yet.
Anyway, you have to let go of what was. And it's a constant thing because you're always in the now. And in order to stay there, you have to let go of what was.
I like what you said earlier about we have to know ourselves. That is so true. Believe it or not.
You can take a long walk and look at the stars, or you can sit in the park and watch the cars. Recall the past, feel the pain, and move to the desert where it don't rain. But look deep inside and try and find yourself. Stop trying to be like everyone else. You make a decision to change it or right. Life is what you make it, like it or not, yeah, believe it or not. Life is what you make it, believe it or not. Get out there and take it, no turning back. Now you've been told it ain't that easy growing old. Well, you can crash your Harley and look at your scars, or you can bang your head until you see stars. You do anything you put your mind to, but unless you try, there ain't nothing you can do. Well, you can sit on your ass and piss and moan, or you can lie around all day, that's why you're alone. Say that life is passing you by, so get off your butt and give it a try. Cause believe it or not, life is what you make it. Believe it or not, get out there and take it. No turning back, now you've been told it ain't that easy growing old. Well, you can will like a leaf in the fall, or smash yourself into a big brick wall. Sit around and mope, sit around and cry. Stand up and give life a try. Well, you can count those days and hope they never end. You can daydream and simply pretend. You tell yourself it's okay, trying to fake it. So give it your best shot and try and make it. Cause believe it or not, life is what you make it. Believe it or not, get out there and take it. No turning back. Now you've been told it ain't that easy growing old.
Believe it or not, ain't that easy growing old?
The truth is, it's very easy. It's only our resistance to it that's difficult. All you have to do is stay alive to grow old.
That's good. So I think would agree with you. Although he doesn't sound old, but I guess he's heard it from other folks about it being old. Those are the Kvetchers. They are a whole new tribe of people. That
is that their name, really?
Yeah, the Kvetchers.
No, are you serious?
Just listen. The Kvetchers are an ever-larging family of people who have the common bond of they kvetch. Now, for those of you who don't know what kvetching is, you may meet a Kvetcher. You'll know you're talking to a Kvetcher. Might sound something like this. Oh, I don't like the way it is. You know, it should have been more this way and less that way. And why don't they move it over here? And this is such a problem for me. Don't they see what I have at stake here? And they are so inconsiderate.
In English, we would call it complaining.
Well, that's kvetching. There you have it. What he's saying, and what I think I better believe it or else, we can choose the life that we want. But it goes back to what you were saying earlier, which is we have to, first and foremost, come to recognize ourselves, who we are. It all hinges on that.
I totally agree. I said it, you agree, and I agree with you agreeing with me.
Good evening, this is Professor Umbridge. Oh, hi, Professor Umbridge. Maybe I could put a little different spin on it. I've always been partial to spinning to the left and to the outside. This is what ballet dancers do. I had a brief stint as a ballet dancer in my youth. You could turn this way and you could turn that way, but one of the things you couldn't do is turn both ways at the same time.
Absolutamente, that I believe.
Nevertheless, we all love to spin, and it seems that spinning is very popular in the universe. Quite a few things spin, and they're greedy for spinning evidently. They spin around themselves, and then they spin around things that are around themselves, and those things spin around other things that are all spinning around other things, and it's a very spinning universe.
Isn't it possible, Professor? It's because we're on a spinning planet?
I wouldn't say because. That's one of the spinning things. Here's how the spinningness relates to knowing who you truly are. So if everything is spinning and you're spinning, who does that make you? There's the question. You, my dear friend, are the spinner. Believe it or not. And you know what the spinner does? The spinner spins a tale. And that's what each of us is doing. We're spinning a tale that's called our life. Tale that we're spinning, in which we play the leading role. And as long as we don't attach ourselves to any of the spinning of the life out there or believe that it is any actual reality, we can spin any kind of tale we want. But my suggestion is, as long as we're spinning tales, spin tales where the most qualified people are the leaders. Believe it or not, I highly recommend it. High conscious qualified leaders are better than low conscious blithering idiots.
Believe it or not, I have to agree with you.
Professor, I detect a little bit of bias on your part. Maybe we can touch on that later. But right now, we're back to belief. Believe it or not. So we're into choice. What is the nature of our choice? I read recently that it is our choices, our decisions. Yeah, something Martin Buber wrote, or Plato even. But they said that we get to make the choice. Choice is like using your muscle in the universe, especially when you commit to a choice, when you choose something and you believe, live, act as if the choice you make is a choice that will also make you. And together, you'll be a made-up next version of yourself.
Every choice we make makes us who we are. I've heard people say, well, I didn't have a choice. I had to do it. What kind of person would feel like they didn't have a choice? You always have a choice. And what is your choice based on? Now that determines a lot about who we are.
What do you mean based on?
Let's see, I choose to play ball rather than to sit at home. What was my choice based on? I wanted to be outside in the air and not be confined in a room. There's a basis for my choice as well.
Like, and for my basis would be, I wonder to see if it would be possible to study the spinning gravitation. I'm out of my element here. Help me out, Professor Schnitzel.
This is Professor Schnitzel. Yeah, the spinning gravity, all spinning around itself. One thing I have to be very careful is in all that spinning is that you don't get dizzy. That's what's wrong with many people on the planet. They are so dizzy from spinning because they go here and they go there and they're shopping and they think this and they have all this that and coming at them and they don't have enough time. They're just spinning and they get dizzy and they're like drunken people, obsessed with their own feelings of resentment and anger. But the spinning, if you look at the orb, see, as the ball is going away from you, as the orb is spinning around, it keeps revolving where it exposes to the light and then the dark, and the light and the dark. Never stops, though. And once people realize that their life is like that, they go sleepy when he gets up. He gets a little tired. He wants to take a little nap. The planets, he wakes up to a new day, and it bathes all the life forms on the planet with the new day light. Unless, of course, it's cloudy.
Or they're night living animals. But they still sleep. They just don't sleep in the nighttime.
I saw this raccoon walking around in broad daylight here at Lupin the other day, and I found myself annoyed. You're supposed to be a night animal, not a day animal, just nonchalantly walking around the campus.
He couldn't sleep.
He was thinking about a combination of stale beef, not quite done potatoes, bananas, toast roasties in a box, and on and on. It's weird, their taste. He had no discrimination about what he ate. In other words, the raccoon eat anything.
You're so silly. I just had a take on spinning, though. Like a spinning wheel, you take wool or something and you spin it into yarn. So that's like refining it into something else, that spinning. So if we spin enough, maybe we can become refined and turn into something else.
Do you remember Rumpelstiltskin?
Oh, I do remember.
He would spin straw into gold.
Right.
Well, I met him.
Did he give you any gold?
Well, he had retired from that position.
Carpal tunnel syndrome, he probably had.
Exactly that. And he just didn't like the way he was being treated, especially when he grew up to people, because there are not a lot of guys by the name of Rumpelstiltskin. So when he would go up and say, "How do you do? My name is Rumpelstiltskin." By the way, his first name was Gerald.
Gerald. You're so silly.
It's not silly as much as
it's... Yes, it's silly.
Anyway, if I could be not as silly, I actually wrote a children's musical called Adventures to Closet Mush, which was produced when I was in college, and I actually won the one-act play contest with that show. What I did was I put a bunch of characters from famous children's stories, Beauty and the Beast, Jack and the Beanstalk, and Rumpelstiltskin, all in the story. And when the play opens, Rumpelstiltskin and Jack formed a vaudeville act. And the thing goes on from there. Silly, yes,
that's
but it
funny,
has songs.
Yes. It wasn't so, denigrating silly.
Just a minute. I need to take that in. Not denigrating silly. That's what makes you such a fantastic wife. Why not? What's the matter with you? Have you lost your interest in denigrating silly? You're so good at it.
I've never denigrated silly.
Okay.
I've just enjoyed it. Obviously, that's why we've been together 40 years. If I didn't enjoy silly, how could I have been with you?
Believe it or not, humor is really good for you. Who could argue that?
Humor is so wonderful. Not only that, but they actually had an ice cream called Good Humor. Now that was so wonderful. We didn't realize how wonderful it was.
I didn't know till just now. Good humor.
Good
As
humor.
As opposed to the guy who sold slugs down the end of the street. He was the bad humor man. And he sold slugs.
Ooh, stop.
But there is bad humor. Because there's derisive humor, or you're laughing at the pain of someone. There's been a lot of that. One of the starker examples, it's at every level, of people who were laughing at people who were being mutilated and tortured and hung and were eating leftover giraffe food. It was
what?
All... Yeah.
Errol's trying to stop it.
Drug
giraffe out. Food. Oh, golly. I love giraffes. Your granddaughter loves giraffes.
What? I said giraffe food. I didn't say eating giraffes.
Oh, that's right. You didn't. Believe it or not,
you
he's right.
Believe it. I'd like to bring the rabbi in just for a little bit to have him talk a little more to the issue of how we know ourselves and why is it so important. Ah, believe it or not, it's so important because the knower of you made yourself to know yourself so you could know the knower back. That way the knower and you expand everything in reality and it gets bigger and bigger. That means who you are, believe it or not, is like a reflection of the divine source of all existence. A tiny reflection, but nevertheless a reflection. But together, like two faces in two mirrors, it goes on and on and on. Have you ever seen those mirrors stop to paint pictures?
No.
That's who you are. To recognize who you are, you have to recognize who made you. Believe it or not. Who made you? So what is the source of who made you? I'll give you something to think about. One thing that made you was evolution. Mm-hmm, you didn't think I'd say that. Even if that's all you believe, that evolution made you, and you begin to look inside of what makes evolution tick, it spins. Ah, that's a clue. Rochelle's looking at me like, so what does that mean? What that means is you keep turning around and constantly looking at yourself in the mirror of your God-conscious presence. And then you face the world, and then you face this, and back and forth is the way you live life. Believe it or not.
And I believe it. I might say it differently, but I know what you're saying.
That's why this is such a wonderful reminder here by the famous George Formby. Believe it or not.
In an old country mansion, last Christmas I stayed. A queer looking place, no doubt. I had lots of fun, I had lots of fun. I said to myself, something's got to be done. I whispered, my dear, don't give way to fright. But in the room you sleep, a ghost appears every night. Believe it or not, believe it or not. But there I'm telling you, no silly ghost, said she, could ever frighten me. Told Tommy Rock, I'm sure I could not believe it anyhow. That night at 12 o'clock, just as the light she turned out, who's that in my room, she cried and started to shout. I whispered, shut up, I'm the ghost I told you about. Perhaps you'll believe it now. In a loony asylum, one day I looked round. One patient was fairly popped. She clung round my neck and whispered to me, the world's greatest sweetheart I happen to be. I'm queen of passion, you gods up above. I'll prove the meaning of reincarnation of love. Believe it or not, believe it or not. I know they say I'm daft. She then called me her she and bit me on the cheek. I said that'll do, I don't believe you. I really am mad somehow. She locked me in a padded cell and messed me about. She hugged and kissed and squeezed me, I enjoyed it no doubt. She then kissed me and said, oh boy, as I staggered out. Perhaps you'll believe it now.
George Formby.
You know George Formby. He played with the Grateful Dead for a few years.
Oh, he did not, you silly man.
Obviously a popular guy in the time that he sang, it's music hall. But he said something that I think can help us identify ourselves. He said, you're the sweetest heart in the world. If you could start by saying, this is to anyone of you who's willing to try it out, believe it or not, your choice, I'm a sweetheart. You're a sweetheart. Hello, sweetheart. Rochelle?
Yes?
Sweetheart?
Hey, sweetheart.
See? She responds well to those words.
Except I have friends who don't like being called by endearing terms. And I've called a friend sweetheart, and I could feel her stiffen. She didn't feel it was genuine because I call other people sweetheart. You have to be conscious when you call somebody sweetheart and really know that you are addressing their sweetheart.
That particular person.
Yeah.
That's very important.
Yeah.
Yeah. Would you say so, Barney? What's your experience with that? Hi, this is Barney. Well, yeah, it's a very particular person. And I find that the best thing to do is to go right up at them and quickly take them in and let them impress me with who they are. What I mean by that is I walk up like I'm ready to be made into a mold for a key. I'm just there. Penetrate me with your presence. Let me feel you coming out of who you are. And I know in there, believe it or not, is a sweetheart. sometimes the sweetheart gets pretty buried in a lot of the characters that I know and walk around with. They'll do almost anything to keep you from recognizing the sweetheartedness of them. They'll even kill you. They kill themselves sometimes. These guys are nuts. But that's what happens when you get very far away from the sweetheart that you are. But some people suffer as kids that they didn't get the support to recognize they were sweethearts. As often as not, they were considered a pain in the ass. That's true for a lot of people. They're walking around feeling like they're a pain in the ass. Believe it or not.
I believe it, because the people who believe they're a pain in the ass usually want to do something bad to you.
Not necessarily.
Because it's a hard burden.
It is, but they all do something to restrict or harm themselves. There's so many people walking around here with not a high sense of their self-esteem. They may cover it up with a lot of bravado and a lot of accumulation and lusts and addictions, but fundamentally, there's this self in there that's not feeling valued or appreciated, and that's what you said earlier, Professor, because it doesn't know what it is.
I just thought of something. I just took the driving test to renew my license, and I had to study the manual and then asked a lot of questions, and I realized anybody can drive, but you have to take a test. Now, anybody can have babies, and they don't have to take a test at all. We don't have to take a test. We don't have to say, this is the way I'm going to be parent. This is the way I'm going to parent my child. These are the values that I'm going to give this child. This is what I'm going to create in the world. Therefore, you have a lot of people walking around thinking they're pain in the asses, because those parents of theirs did not learn that their children needed to be treated as sweethearts.
Believe it or not, a sweetheart is probably the sweetest thing you'll ever encounter. You know the meals where you not only had seconds, thirds, you're into fifths?
Fifths?
Fifths, seconds. Oh, my, I could have some more thirds. But when you get to, they start serving the sweethearts, that's when you cross over into fourth, fifth.
I didn't know what you were talking about.
Well, hear me out there, don't you? You know what I was talking about. The sweetheart that, of course, it's offered in life, by life, to us to partake of is the sweetheartedness of each other. When we stop and tear down the mask and tear down the fear and resistance, all the misconception and the confusion and the rigidity of long-held point of view.
Believe it or not.
Exactly. Well, this is Senator Beauregard, and believe it or not, this is a time when people are starting to feel the oats. Unfortunately, some of the oats are sour oats, so it's making them mean and revengeful. I'm talking about a political situation. I'm talking about the people we are going to choose to lead us into this foray, which is the dilemmas of life and how they show up. In what degree can a government actually play in the resolving of some of those uncomfortable quandaries which we find ourselves with immigration and with terrorism, economy, and the haves and the have-nots, and those with guns and those who don't have guns.
As you were talking, Senator Beauregard, I thought that government is elected to make sure things run smoothly so that we can progress. I think Michelle Obama said, we're there for our children. We're there for the next generation to make things work right for the next generation. That's all it is. It's not there to suppress or make decisions about how we're supposed to be as human beings. It's supposed to give us every opportunity to grow and become more progressive. A wise government does that. Our government, because it has all those checks and balances, no one person can be a dictator. The government won't allow it. That's very important to realize that one man's opinion does not run the government.
Well, that's why they put in place here behind all of it this basic structure, which I see as a pyramid, to form this union, a more and more perfect union. And of course, you hope the people will be asking themselves, what does that mean, more and more perfect? And establish justice. See, these are the parameters. Ensure domestic tranquility. Make sure there's peace at home. And provide for the common defense. That's where the government and the people or whoever gets to help people feel more safe and secure. And then we got to promote the general welfare, which is health, well-being, and so that what? We can secure these blessings. And you, if you've got an experience of liberty, you tell me if it isn't a blessing forevermore. But you have to pay attention to all those areas of life. They all have to be worked evenly. Justice, health, peace at home, unity, and freedom. They all have to work together.
Senator Beauregard, I know where you're coming from, but you know, I think you could take those same things and other people could translate them differently. Like defense, that we feel safe and secure. But how do you feel safe and secure? Some people, I think I feel safe and secure if I have a loaded shotgun standing me near my door, and if anybody enters, I can shoot them.
Exactly. That's my point. But we're in some conversation about how we do these things and what it means to each of us to see if we can reconcile our differences, because the first and foremost commitment is to the first goal, which is to form a more perfect union. And if we keep that ahead of us, and that's because we are union formers. That's who people really are. They don't know it. They are union formers. And they create union everywhere they go.
It's interesting that they use the word perfect.
Most people I know came out of a union, and a very, if I might say, sexy one at that.
Of course you would.
Thank you, Senator. That was good. I liked the last part especially.
Your sweetheart.
Believe it or not, even you. And that was Senator Beauregard, and we are Insight Out to Naked Truth, and we've been jawing at you and each other for 39 minutes now. But who's counting? And we are sponsored by Go Raw. Thank you.
Raw food. Food that hasn't been cooked to the point where all the nutrient is gone from it.
In other words, providing you with nutrients for your body. And I like to think we provide nutrients for your mind and your soul and your spirit by what we share. And we're able to share it also because of Universe Spirit.
Yes, it's constantly giving us data and informing us so well about what's happening on our planet and how we can make a difference. There are things that we can do. We're not helpless. The one thing about humans I absolutely love is that we're creative. We have imagination. You can't count something out just because it hasn't been done. One of the things we do as humans, if it hasn't been done, we'll try to find a way to do it. That's part of who we are. And I love that about us. We invent things because of that. So I have a lot of faith that our humanity will solve problems, even the problems of global climate and destabilization. We will find ways to, like, oh, this can't be done or that can't be done. And health, too. A lot of it depends on funds for research, but a lot of it, and more so even than funds for research, is the idea that can get funded.
Maybe you've got an idea out there. Maybe you are an active player and you're seeing like this huge wave coming at you and you're already wet. I'm talking about the climate change and its effect. You're already wet up to your knees. It's tolerable. But as it cranks up to more and more intensity, it's going to get shaky. But that's why it's really good to, I guess I want to say, stay in our child self and realize, you know, what is basic, really? What is like the ABCs of life?
H is for, here we go, bend down low. Let me tell you is for a kiss. L is for loving. M is for mommy. N is for nice. O is for oh my. P is for people time. Q is for quick. R is for ready. Bend down low. For today, U is for unity. V gives me variety. W is for the world. X is for my xylophone. Y is for you. Z is for Ziggy and Dango.
Z is for Ziggy because that was Ziggy Marley.
Oh, Ziggy Marley.
Singing ABC, Family Time. Thank you, Ziggy. And that's a great reminder, too, isn't it? That we can decide what words that we want to celebrate and conjure up and pay attention to in a song like that. It'd be interesting if everybody had to find a word for the ABCs like he did and see what people would come up with.
That's a fun exercise.
We've done something like that in our workshops.
Those are acronyms.
We even took the word Zepohomikaktisizipokupoizimpompibia, which is...
Carol.
Huh? That really is stupid, isn't it? Don't think that the stupid people have a market on stupidity. Oh, no. Oh, no.
Smart people can be stupid, too.
Oh, yes. Yes, we can make very... stupid, uninformed choices. That's one thing I appreciate about aging, is that you see how many stupid, uninformed choices you're actually capable of, and it just makes you humble. I think that's why we get smaller when we age. We just get a little more, okay, I get it. I'm not the center of reality determining all experience.
Funnest thing of all that I got in touch with the other day was aging. You really can't stop it as long as you're alive. It really asks you to surrender to it, since you can't stop it unless you die. So there you go. You surrender. I'm growing older, and really rejoice in it. Celebrate it. All the wonders of it. You have so many more stories to tell anybody when you're older. You've had a lifetime of wonderful adventures. Even people who just sit on a couch have had a lifetime of more adventures than a young person.
Believe it or not.
This is true, believe it or not. For me, it's true because it's my experience. And that's something you can't argue with someone, their experience.
You've experienced it.
Who cares what your opinion is? I've experienced it. It's not up for opinion. It's what I've experienced.
That's what's amazing, that we have this selfhood that we live inside of, that is our frame of reference for everything. When you turn around and you look at itself, you say, who is this? I think Moses got the answer. I think we could have, you know, the question was solved because he went up on the mountain, remember? It was a long
story. I don't remember, but I was told.
Okay, anyway, so the story goes, Moses went up on the mountain. But Father, you tell the story. You tell it better than I would. Oh, sure, this is Father O'Malley, and happy to share this great story about this great Irishman. Moses.
Moses O'Malley, eh?
Not O'Malley. No, I wouldn't go so that far to say that it was O'Malley. But he might have had an O'Shaughnessy in him, or no, Moses O'Shaughnessy. Anyway, but he went up on top of the mountain there, because he's like, I'm going to get away from everything and find out who's this God that says he's God, and there's God, and whatever that is, and all. There used to be all these spirits, you see, up till that time, multiple gods. They had a God convention for those multiple gods, on and off for centuries, until they had the one God. And he wanted to know, okay, we got it down to one. Who are you? What's your name? So he went up into the mountain, and he said, ask that question, believe it or not. That's what he asked. Who are you? To God. And God, you know, got very excited and did something God does really well, fire. Oh, it was really just God being so excited to answer the question. He flamed up. Anyway, and the God said in a voice that was very flamey and godlike, and it said, I am that I am. But he didn't actually say it like that, and that's where people get a little mixed up. What he said was, with the flame and with the one of the flames pointing at Moses, and he says to him with emphatic pronouncement, I am, and then he points to the O'Shaughnessy boy, and he says to him, that I am. And he's like, he does a double take. You mean the I am also that I am. And sure enough, that's how the O'Shaughnessy boys got into the boat and sail and oyster business.
Believe it or not.
Well, you don't let me say what I mean. What I mean by the old oyster business and Moses and all the rest of them, what is an oyster, darling? Inside is the pearl. And what is it that Moses, one of his descendants, said, the pearl of great price? That's what I'm offering you. Where are you going to find that? What's the oyster that has the pearl of great price? What do you think it is there, darling?
Well, I'd say confusion is an irritant. I'd say that anger is an irritant. Fear is certainly an irritant. So all these things allow us, if we choose, believe it or not, to grow a pearl.
That's right. And we're the container. We're the little shell of the pearl. And we get ripped right open at a certain point in life. Actually, 2 points, at birth and at death, and probably a lot in between. When you get broken apart, and that, of course, allows you to grow and become able to recognize more and more who you are, that you're the flaming self-image of the I am standing in front of a flaming mirror. It's a flamer.
You know, there's that...
Believe it or not.
Believe it or not, okay. There's a cliche, you know, that says if it doesn't break you, it makes you stronger or something to that effect. And I realized that at this point in my life, there's so many things that I remember feeling tortured by the suffering that the incident, the breakup of a relationship, the dissolution of a place I lived in, the loss of money, the loss of friends, the loss of life, loss, pain. But in many ways, I survived that. I survived the pain. And I didn't become bitter. And I realized that, you know, that was part of my growth. It nourished me in some, though I didn't think of it at the time as being nourished, I thought I was being ripped apart. But afterwards, when it's quiet down, when the suffering is quieted down, I realized that it was nourishment. Mm-hmm. Of course, I'd like to be nourished in much more pleasant ways, but nevertheless, and that's nourishing too.
Well, that's why we have pleasant nourishing devices, and we sell them here, right out of our kitchen, and you can get them with the side of ketchup. They go really well with ketchup.
Listen, we had a lovely weekend here at Lupin with the, what was it called? Wait, don't tell me, the Western Western Nudist Gathering? Naturist. Western Naturist Gathering. And one of the things that was put on the wall was a Before I Die sign. And people wrote in Before I Die and the things that they came up with them that they wanted to do, see, hear, be before they died. And I didn't sign up on the... I didn't do it. I didn't go to the wall. But I thought about it and I wrote, Before I Die, I want to be able to accept exactly who and where I am. That's my Before I Die.
Believe it or not.
Believe it or not.
Well, on that note, I would like to give you a test, believe it or not, in the form of this song. We've had songs about believe it or not, but this is an actual test to see if you can believe this or not, what these gals are pointing to.
Good men to get together with one another. We got to iron out our problems and iron out our quarrels and try to live as brothers and try to find peace within without stepping on one another. And do respect the women of the world. Remember, you all had mothers. We gotta
make this land better land than the world in which we live.
And we gotta help each man be a better man with the kindness that we give.
I know we can make it.
I know that we can.
I know darn well we can work it out. And yes, we can. No, we can. Yes, we can. Or why can't we if we want to? Yes, we can.
I know we can make it work. I know we can make it if we try.
Oh, yes, we can. I know we can. Yes, we can.
We got your mind.
Oh, yes, we can. I know we can.
Children, the little children of the world, cause they're our strongest hope for the future, the little bitty boys and girls. We got to
make this land a better land than the world in which we live.
We gotta help each man be a better man with the kindness that we give.
I know we can make it.
I know that we can.
I know darn well we can work it out.
Oh, yes, we can. I know we can.
Believe it or not, yes, we can, the Pointer Sisters remind us. Everything they said is totally valid, and I would promote. And believe it or not, we really can affect, at the very least, who we are as ourselves and the nature and quality of our relationship to life. We all have that capability. We all can make choices, believe it or not.
I have a litmus test for my choices. Do they bring me into greater connection with myself, others, and Source, or do they create separation? And I really choose to do the former.
Former? I knew the former.
Former, to bring myself into greater connection with myself, others, and the Source, rather than to create separation. That choice, believe it or not, is a choice that makes me grow more conscious, more compassionate, more aware, more understanding than I would be if I chose to separate myself from people.
Believe it or not.
I can, and I do. Not only that, but what I'm aware of is that every time I create a judgment, like I make you less or more or different than me in some way where I cannot find the place I can come into union with you, I feel something is taken away from me,
really?
Which is the experience of you, the true experience, the union with you, because I push you away. And every time I push somebody away, I lose them.
But you know, we can always go back to and rely on humor. We're funny. We're absurd. It's ridiculous.
That's true. I definitely always think the angels are laughing their heads off if there are angels.
Really,
best reality show in the universe.
If you can believe this or not, that the universe is friendly toward us and is supportive and on our side, then much of our behavior is really ridiculous. And it would be consummately ridiculous and absurd if it didn't cause harm and pain to others.
I find when I'm watching Ella, our little grandchild, I laugh constantly. She's so funny. She's so adorable. And I think that's the way we're seen, because we're so immature and so stupid. But, that's the but, the big but, is okay. We don't run around hurting each other and doing bad things to each other.
Since we don't want to do bad things to each other or the next upcoming show, we're going to sign off. This is Inside Out, The Naked Truth, coming to you from Lupin Lodge, where clothing is optional, but
the truth is always naked.
Sponsored by Go Raw and
Universe Spirit.
Job One for Humanity. So, Rochelle, what do I need to remember?
Well, you need to remember that resistance is what we add to pain to make it last longer and hurt more.
Believe it or not,